Miss Liz is with him, praise God. Amen. Praise God. A little easier for her to get here because their child is grown, because they live in Atlanta, for one thing, outside of Atlanta. And so we are glad they are here. How many of you, is there anybody here that has not heard Brother Larry when he's been here before? Lift your hand if you've not heard him. Amen. Here's a couple. Amen. Well, you're going to be blessed, praise God. Hallelujah. So I'll let him tell you about his ministry. I think most of you know, but a lot of good things going on, I'm sure, since the last time we saw him. His book table is also out in this foyer over here. He will tell you about that. Go out there and, you know, you're going to hear one message today. Last Sunday, I was preaching something that was sparked by your message from being here last Sunday. I'll tell you about that at lunch. Amen. If we get a chance. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand up all together. You look too comfortable. Let's stand up all together one more time. Praise God. Sorry. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's honor God and let's let Larry know how much we appreciate him. Give him a big hand. Welcome, both of them, back to Cleveland, Tennessee. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Good morning.
Y'all can be seated.
Wow, you guys look amazing today. Hallelujah. Glad to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm so thankful to be here with you all today. I missed the last couple times, but I remember you, and these guys are so precious. We love your pastors. We've been friends for years and years and years, and we just honor them and bless your church in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I tell you what, God is good. It's Christmas season.
Hallelujah.
Just looking at the Christmas tree on the platform is so wonderful, and that'll make him really preach good because Christmas is his favorite season. Amen. So praise God. But anyway, we're just so thankful to be with you all, and what a wonderful time in the world and in our lives to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we were singing about the name of Jesus, that's all I could think of. It's just about the name. The name that's above every single name. The name, yes, of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Is he your Lord and your Savior this morning?
Yes, yes,
amen.
Yes.
I need a bigger amen than that. Is he your Lord and Jesus this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Lord and Savior. Amen. He is. He's our healer. He's our baptizer in the Holy Ghost. He is our Savior. He is our peace. He is our joy. He is whatever we need. He's our provider.
Yes.
Whatever it is we need, we have it in Jesus. Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. I just love the name of Jesus. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. He is Lord. He's ruler. He is the Lord of our life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You,
glory
Lord.
To
Thank
God.
You, Lord.
And
Thank
it's an
Lord.
Honor to worship and praise him and come into his presence,
yes,
and lift,
yes,
up,
yes,
his precious holy name. Amen.
Yes.
You know, if he would have been if you had been the only person in this whole world, God would have still sent his only son. Jesus would have still shed his blood just for you.
That's right.
Isn't that an awesome thought? And we get to recognize that this season, that he came. He came into this world as a child, and he grew up as a man, and he gave his life, and he went to hell for you and for me so we could enjoy this beautiful life and take what he's given us to where? The world.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
The world needs Jesus today. The world needs Jesus so desperately today. And guess what? We're taking him, aren't we? We're taking him with all barrels. How do you say that? How do you
Both
say that?
Both barrels.
Both barrels. How many you have? I know you guys have barrels up here in Tennessee. Amen. Praise God. Well, we love you so much. Looking forward to the service today. I have my expector on. Turn your expector on. Amen. Flip that switch on, receive from God today, and he's going to bless your life so that you can walk out of here and be that blessing and be that distribution center of everything that God put on the inside of you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Love you. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. I'll just go sit down and let her preach. Hallelujah. It is an honor to be back. We love the Stricklands. We go way, way, way back. This is my 15th time preaching here. And it's been over 30 years, so I know we look a lot younger than that, but but it is an honor to be back, and I recognize so many of you. Some of you I don't know, but not too many, and it's just a blessing. Let me give you a praise report, because some of you all remember. In fact, for those of you that weren't here, about 5-6 years ago, we started advertising on Google to get people saved, and when I was here last time, a couple years ago, we had 130,000 that had been saved on Google from advertising. Now we're over 160,000. Hallelujah. We're believing for 200,000, so get in agreement with us. It's just, that just, you know, God says he that winneth souls is wise, and that was when God told us to advertise on Google. We didn't know anybody ever that had done it. Maybe they had, but we didn't hear anybody, and so just we're glad we obeyed God, because most of the people that are getting saved on Google don't attend church anywhere. So we're reaching the unchurched, and to get that many people saved, we're laying up a lot of rewards in heaven. I know there's a couple of you that are partners, monthly partners of our ministry. You're getting rewards for every soul that's been saved. And I think the rewards we're going to have up there are a whole lot better than the rewards we get down here. Amen. Come on, because we get to enjoy them for how long? Eternity, right? Down here, just maybe a century or so, but up there, we get to enjoy those rewards for a long time. So praise God. And then another quick testimony. I know some of you, maybe our partners, have heard this one, but we had a couple. We were actually preaching in Tennessee, over on the other side of Tennessee, and a couple walked up to Liz and I and wanted to introduce themselves. They were from the First Baptist Church of Memphis, and both of the husband and wife had terminal cancer at the same time. The husband had stage 3, the wife had stage 4. The doctors had given them both about 6 months to live, very aggressive cancer. And they were Baptists. They said, we didn't know anything about healing. We asked the doctors, what would chemo and radiation, all that do? They said, well, it may give you another 6 months. And they said, well, that's not good enough. So they just started seeking God, and they got on YouTube and were seeking scriptures or seeking something about healing. They just happened to run across Larry Hutton Ministries' YouTube channel. Wow. Imagine that. And I just happened to be doing a series on It's God's Will to Heal All. And so they started listening to it. They ordered, how many of you have the Heaven's Health Food? I know a number of you do. They ordered that, and they started listening to it 24 hours a day, every day, day in and day out. I don't remember if it was the seventh day they told us or the tenth day, but somewhere in there they told us they started listening, what was it, a couple weeks or something? Anyway, they started listening to it over and over and over, and all the cancer disappeared from both of their bodies. Then they came to the meeting, they introduced themselves to Liz and I, and they told us, they said, now it was 6 months ago when all the cancer left, we've been healed ever since, and we just wanted to come and meet you guys and give you the testimony that God's Word works. That's pretty good, isn't it? Praise God. And here they weren't even Word of Faith folks, they were just good Baptist folks born again and found out the truth, and the truth set them free. So that's exciting, praise God. Well, how many of you have your Bibles this morning? All right, let's turn them to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I don't know if I can, is there a little pulpit I can get down here or not?
We can.
Do we? If not, no problem. I'll just throw it on Liz's lap or something, you know, while I'm Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I'm going to discuss something with you today that God says that you're supposed to be doing now. And if you get a hold of this, it's going to change the way you get out of bed every morning. I believe it'll change the way you approach every day of your life. Because there are things that God says to do now. A lot of people don't want to live in the now. They want to live in their yesterdays, and yesterdays will mess you up. And so a lot of people live in their yesterdays, and then other people live in their tomorrows. Oh, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle it? Oh, what are we going to do about this week? And that messes them up. And yet God says there are things we're supposed to do today. And so that's what we're going to be talking about, what exactly God tells us to do today. This is actually a message God gave me this year for the body of Christ. He's had me share it a number of places around the country as I've traveled this year. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, we're going to read where it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. Most of us have probably heard this many times, quoted it many times, but Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So Paul's actually writing this letter from prison. He's writing to encourage believers. Interesting. Paul's the one in prison, and yet he's the one doing the encouraging.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's because there are many people in prison themselves. They may be imprisoned to their thoughts and their emotions. They may be imprisoned to physical illness. They may be imprisoned financially. I think Paul's trying to let the Ephesians know and us know that we can get out of our prisons wherever we're captive. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So the first word Paul uses is the word finally. The word finally actually ties in what he's getting ready to say with what he's already said. Now, you know, when we read Ephesians, we look at it in chapters and verses so that when the preacher says, turn to chapter 6, verse 10, we can find it quickly. But this was actually just one letter all written from Paul to the believers in Ephesus. And in order for you to really get the impact of the word finally, you have to have some clue of what was said before finally. Because finally ties in what he's getting ready to say with what he just said. So in order for us to do that, obviously, we can't go back and read all five chapters. So what I did, just for your benefit, so when we read what he says after finally, I went ahead and did a quick synopsis. I wrote it down, a quick synopsis of each chapter so that you'll understand, okay, now finally, what are you saying, Paul, finally after all of that? So in chapter 1, Paul talks about our redemption. Then he talks about our inheritance. Then he talks about how the Holy Spirit has sealed us and given us an eternity with Jesus. And then he ends up talking, in fact, for those of you taking notes, you might want to write down chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, because this is a model prayer. A lot of Christians want to know, how do I pray? What do I pray? Here's the thing to pray right here. Verses 15 through 23 will show you how to pray for your spouse, how to pray for your children, how to pray for others. It'll be real good for you to get a hold of that. Then in chapter 2, Paul talks about how salvation is by grace through faith. Then he talks about how Jesus has now become our peace. Then he talks about how he abolished the hostility that the law produced and has now made us one body with him. Then he talks about how we now have access to the Father because we are all citizens and members of the household of God. Then in chapter 3, he talks about how God used the apostles and prophets to speak by revelation and make known the mysteries and manifold wisdom of God. Then he talks about how we now have access to Jesus and how we're supposed to come to Jesus with boldness and confidence. And then at the end of the chapter, again, for those of you writing, taking notes, write this down. Verses 14 through 19 of Ephesians 3 is another model prayer, how to pray for others, how to pray for yourself as well. It's really good. Then in chapter 4, Paul talks about how we are to walk in humility and modesty, gentleness, patience, endurance, steadfastness, as well as perseverance. Then he talks about how we are all one body, with one Lord and one faith and one baptism and one God who is the Father of us all. Then he talks about how Jesus ascended and that when he ascended, he released God's grace and gave us five ministry gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And he tells us those gifts are given to help equip believers so that the believers can work the ministry and help the body of Christ grow up. Then he talks about how we as believers are supposed to be adults in Jesus, not like children, and not follow after false doctrines. Each of us, by acting like grown-ups, will cause us to do our part and help the body of Christ grow up in love. Then he talks about how we're supposed to quit acting like sinners and start acting like the new man that we really are, righteous and holy. Then he talks about how not to give place to the devil. Then he talks about how only to allow good things to come out of our mouths, otherwise we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And then he ends that chapter 4 by talking about how to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgive each other the same way Jesus has forgiven you. That's huge, huh?
Yes.
It's interesting that God has to tell us to be tender-hearted and to forgive each other. Shouldn't have to, but he does. Then in chapter 5, he tells us, by starting that chapter, he says, imitate God. Start imitating him. Don't be partakers of the unsaved lifestyles. Partake of God's life. Then he says, you're a child of light, and you have no business engaging in the unfruitful works of darkness. And then he talks about how to use our time wisely. And instead of getting drunk on wine, he tells us how to stay filled with the Spirit by speaking and singing the Word of God and by giving thanks to God continually. Then he talks to husbands and wives how to honor each other, love each other, respect each other, and submit to one another in God's love. Then in chapter 6, he starts out talking to those of us who have parents that we're supposed to listen to them, give heed to godly instruction, and honor them. Doing so will cause things to go well with us and extend our lives in health and prosperity. Interesting, that verse does not say, honor your parents if they are honorable. It doesn't say, honor your parents if they were good to you. It doesn't say, honor them if they raised you properly. It says, honor them. Kind of sounds like it has more to do with you, because so that it'll be well with you. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Then he talks to those of us who work for someone. If you have a boss, an owner, a supervisor, and it tells you you're actually supposed to work for them as though you're working for Jesus. And if you do that, then Jesus will be the one that rewards you openly. Well, that's powerful. And that brings us to verse 10 when he uses the word finally, which is actually in the Greek language an adverb. An adverb is a modifier. It modifies a verb, it modifies a sentence, a preposition, an adjective. It's a modifier. For example, you could say the sentence, short sentence, he ran. But then you can add an adverb to tell you how he ran. He ran quickly. Or you can add an adverb and tell you where he ran. He ran to Walmart. Or you could say when he ran. He ran yesterday. You could use an adverb and modify it and tell you how often he ran every day. So Paul starts with this word, finally, as an adverb. Actually, it's an adverbial phrase here because he says, finally be strong in the Lord. So he's actually adding a modifier to all the things that he previously said in the previous chapters leading up to this statement. In other words, I'm adding a modifier so you'll know the what, when, where, and why, and how. So that you'll be able to do what I've already said. In other words, you're going to have to be strong in the Lord to walk in your redemption, chapter 1. You're going to have to be strong in the Lord to receive your inheritance of chapter 1. You're going to have to be strong in the Lord to pray for others. You're going to have to be strong in the Lord to allow Jesus to be your peace at all times. You're going to have to be strong in the Lord, listen, to still come to Jesus with boldness and confidence when you've messed up. Boy, it's getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. Come on now. Y'all wake up this morning. You're going to have to be strong in the Lord not to follow after religious fads. You're going to have to be strong in the Lord to act like the righteous and holy person that you really are. You're going to have to be strong in the Lord to not give place to the devil. You're going to have to be strong in the Lord to only allow good things to come out of your mouth. You're going to have to be strong in the Lord to be tenderhearted and forgiving one another the way Jesus has forgiven you. You understand what I mean now by a modifier? So the first thing Paul says is be strong in Jesus and in the power of his might. Be strong in Jesus. Listen, he wouldn't have to tell us to be strong if we were just always strong. Right? He said, just keep acting like you've been. But he didn't. He says, be strong. So that means there's going to be times when you don't feel strong. You may feel weakness. You may feel a lack of ability, an inadequacy, a frustration, a hopelessness. But what does God tell us to do? One word. Somebody said, no, brother, it's two words. Be strong. Well, actually, in the Greek, this be strong is translated from one Greek word. Let me give you the four definitions of this one Greek word. Empowered. Everybody say empowered.
Empowered.
Enabled. Say enabled.
Enabled.
Increase in strength. Say that.
Increase in strength.
And then be strong. So, empowered, enabled, increase in strength, be strong. But it doesn't stop there. The key is in the Lord.
Yes.
Be strong in the Lord. You are empowered, you are enabled, you are strengthened, you can be strong because you are in Christ. I mean, even under the old covenant, they could be strong. Remember over there in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, the people that do know their God will be strong. The people that do know their God. We have God on the inside of us. We are in Him. He is in us, right? The people that do know their God will be strong. That in Daniel 11:32, where it says that, it goes on and says they'll be strong and do. Actually, the word exploits in the King James, you'll see it's italicized. It wasn't there in the original. It actually says the people that do know their God will be strong and do. So I looked up the word do in the Hebrew and found out it means to accomplish or to advance. So you're going to advance the kingdom of God. You're going to accomplish the will of God in your life when you do know your God.
Yes.
Amen. Isaiah 35:4 tells us, those of us of a fearful heart, be strong and do not fear. In fact, turn over there. You need to look at that one. Sometimes quoting it doesn't help us as much. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse number 4. Isaiah 35:4. I'm going to read from the New King James. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse number 4. And it says this, say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God, he will come and save you. So be strong and do not fear. Be strong.
Yes.
He doesn't say try to be, he said be strong and do not fear. That reminds me of 2 Chronicles 32:7, which says, be strong and courageous when facing your enemies, because there's more with us than there are with them.
Amen.
Also the same with Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous and do not be afraid or discouraged, because the Lord is with you everywhere you go. So we can be strong. Why can we be strong? Well, this says in Ephesians, be strong in the Lord. Is that where we're at? If any man, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, in Jesus, in the Lord, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. So if you're going to be strong in the Lord, then you have to know who you are in the Lord. Hello. Going to be strong in the Lord. He didn't say be strong in yourself. And in the power of your might, be strong in the Lord. So I wrote down some scriptures. I'm not going to have you turn to them just for time's sake, but I'm going to read some scriptures real quick of who you are in the Lord. Romans 3:24 says, because you're in Christ, you are redeemed and made right with God because of his free, unearned, undeserved grace.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Romans 8:1 says, because you're in Christ, you can now live a life free from condemnation.
Yes.
Romans 8:38 and 39 says, there's nothing that you can do or anyone else can do that will stop God from loving you. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, because you're in Christ, you have, not you're going to have, you have all of God's wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You have that now. You have those things. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, because you're in Christ, you can always triumph in every endeavor. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, because you're in Christ, God, oh, I love this one. God is not keeping any record of your mistakes, your sins, your failures, not keeping any record of them. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:26 says, your faith in Christ has made you a part of God's immediate family. You're not a cousin or a faraway relative. No, you're immediate family. You're part of the family of God. The Most High God is your daddy.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:3 says, because you're in Christ, God has already given you every blessing that is available in heaven. Now, you don't have to wait till you get to heaven. His will can be done on earth as it is in
heaven.
Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:6 says, because you're in Christ, God has given you a seat in heaven right next to him. This is pretty amazing. You're in more than one place at once. You're not omnipresent. I said that one time by accident when I was preaching. I was so glad my wife was with me. I said, think you're omnipresent. She said, honey, no, not omnipresent. That's like God. I said, oh, that's right. You're duo present. You're here sitting in the church this morning, but you're also seated with Jesus in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, because you're in Christ, God has handcrafted you, assigned things for you to do in this life, and given you the ability to do them. Whew, that's Ephesians 2:10. Philippians 2:5 says, because you're in Christ, you have the mind of Christ and can operate in Jesus' mental state. Hallelujah. Now let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'd encourage you, just if you wrote, I noticed a lot of you writing down those scriptures, go back over them this afternoon or when you get a chance and just look at all those, who you are, because if you're going to be strong in the Lord, meditate who are you are in the Lord. Give you confidence and boldness to act like who you are in him. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So this says, because you're in Christ, you can partake of his grace to be strong. And His grace is sufficient, isn't it? You can come boldly to the throne of grace. You can obtain mercy, find more grace to help every time you face a need, no matter what the need is. Hallelujah. Be strong in the grace because you're in the Lord. And that's what we're looking at in Ephesians 6:10. We'll get back there in a minute. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and let's go to verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 16, 13. I'm going to read from the New King James again, which says four things to do. It says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Of course, be strong is what we're looking at here. Be strong. You know, when the Lord gave me this message, He says, my children are going to need this word. They're going to need this message for the things to come. Just because we saw a virus come out of Wuhan lab in China doesn't mean you've seen the worst. No, we've already been told that 1,000 are going to fall at our side, 10,000 are our right hand. That's even worse than 9/11. So we're going to see worse things right in the middle of the greatest revival that this world has ever seen. More people being born again, filled with the Spirit and healing and miracles taking place. That's all going to be taking place as darkness tries to get worse and worse on the midst of the earth. We're going to see some terrible things, but that's when the body of Christ is going to need to be the light. We're going to need to step in. Amen. When you see that we're going to be able to get down and weep with those who weep and then just lift them up right up out of the pit. Come on now. Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to helping people. Praise God. Yes, so these four things are something that God has called us to do now. If you're wondering what you're supposed to do this week, this year, next year, here are some things God commissioned you to do. Four things. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. So let's talk about those four things a minute. First of all, the word watch. If you look up this Greek word, it means to stay awake. It means to be watchful, be vigilant, give strict attention to. Now listen to this definition, be cautious. When I looked at those, stay awake, be watchful, be vigilant, give strict attention to, be cautious. All of those definitions lead us to realize we're going to get attacked. Satan's going to be out there to steal, kill, and destroy, and we need to be on our guard. We're told the same thing in 2 Peter 5:8, where he says, be vigilant, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, pay attention, be on your guard, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, guess what? We can be vigilant because that next verse says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. So just like this, we can watch, we can be vigilant, we can stay on our guard. Don't fall for the devil's snares, his traps, or his trickery. We don't have to do that. So it tells us here to watch. The second thing it tells us here is stand fast in the faith. Interesting, to stand fast in the faith, another indication something's going to try and knock you off your faith. Someone is going to try and knock you off your faith, right? So I looked up this word, stand fast in the faith, with these couple of Greek words here. It means to stay stationary, to be persistent, and to persevere. Stay stationary, be persistent, and persevere. Therefore, it means you got to stay stationary in your faith. You got to be persistent in what Jesus has made you and what He's given you. And then, according to this word persevere, you have to persevere when things don't go your way or things don't look like they're working. You got to persevere. In other words, don't be moved by what you see, hear, and feel. Realize what you see, hear, and feel can be moved by you releasing your faith in God's grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Galatians 5:1 says to stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made us free. Then it goes on in that chapter, tells us don't get entangled trying to keep a bunch of laws to gain God's approval. Jesus has already gained God's approval for us. Hallelujah. God's approval is not based on your performance. It's not based on your good works, what you do, what you don't do. It's based totally on what Jesus already did for you. And can I hear an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 16:13 again, watch. That means stay alert. Then he tells you to be persistent. Use your faith to persevere. Don't be moved by information obtained by the physical senses. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Then the third thing it says is be brave. King James actually says, quit ye like men. Say what? Quit ye like men. What does that mean? Well, in society today, you may hear it said like this, be a man. Or man up. In other words, quit acting like a wimp.
That's right.
Quit acting like a coward. Quit acting like a defeated pup. I like to say it this way. Quit acting like the lion on the Wizard of Oz. Y'all, some of y'all remember that movie. You remember the lion was not strong at all. He was a coward until the wizard gave him courage. Well, let me tell you what. You have someone much more powerful than that little weak wizard.
Yeah.
And he's the creator of all things, and he's given you his courage. In fact, he's given you himself. No wonder you can be strong and quit yourselves like men. Kind of says the same thing over in 1 Samuel 4:9. Quit yourselves like men and fight. In other words, be courageous. So I started looking up. I noticed a lot of scriptures I would look up. They would tell us to be strong and courageous, the same verses. In fact, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles 32 and verse number 7. 2 Chronicles 32, 7. And you'll see the words strong and courageous here together. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that's with him, for there's more with us than there are with them. Now, a lot of times when somebody reads an Old Testament verse like this, they think, well, that doesn't apply to me. That's talking about the king of Assyria and all that. But you have to understand, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, Paul said that all of the Old Testament stories were written as examples for us to learn from.
Yeah.
So in other words, here in 2 Corinthians 32, 7, when it says, be strong and courageous when facing your enemies, it applies to us. And it says, because there are more with us than there are with them. Woo, glory to God. That reminds me of 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16, where Elisha has to pray for his servant Gehazi to have his eyes open so he could see what had happened. Some of you might know the story, but the king of Assyria kept trying to attack the children of Israel. But before he'd attack, every time Elisha would get revelation from God what he was going to do, and so they'd always thwart the enemy's plans. And so the king of Assyria, He was upset. He thought he had a spy in the camp. He thought somebody was in his inner circle telling off. And so he called them together and he said, which one of you are a traitor? And they said, no, that's not it. You got it wrong, king. There's a prophet over in Israel, and God shows him what you're planning on doing. In fact, even what you say back in your bedroom. And so then King Assyria found out that Elisha was in Dothan, so he takes all these tens of thousands of horses and chariots and surrounds the whole city of Dothan. And then the servant wakes up before Elisha and goes out and looks over the city and looks around the whole city, and the whole city is surrounded. Now, King James is a little weak in its interpretation when it says, alas, master. I think it was more like, ah, Elisha, what are we going to do? We're about to die.
Yeah, that's right.
That was probably more like what a last master means.
Yeah.
And so then Elisha has to pray, God, open his eyes. Now, we know his natural eyes were open because he saw all the enemies surrounding Dothan. So when he said, open his eyes, God was saying, let him see into the God realm. Let him see into the eternal realm, the realm that you and I are a part of. Let him to see into that spirit realm. And he opened his eyes, and then he saw horses and chariots of fire. Many more. And that's when he made the statement, more with us than there are with them. You have angels surrounding you. You have horses or chariots. I don't know where we get this idea that you get this little angel, little fat angel with a harp that's going to try and take care of you until you grow up, then he's going to leave you. People have gotten this idea, you just have an angel when you're a little kid. No, you need an angel more when you're an adult. In fact, you need a whole bunch of them, so that's why they're assigned to you. But this ought to be encouraging for you. There's more with us than there are with them. Turn over to Joshua chapter 1 now. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 9. Joshua 1:9. We're going to see the same words again. Have I not commanded you? Be strong. We can be strong because we're in the Lord, right? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I remember one time the Lord had Brother Hagin, well, actually, I remember quite a few different times at different meetings, he said, but he'd bring this verse and other verses that say the exact same thing. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. And he said, you know, if we believers would just believe one verse, we'd never have another down day or the rest of our lives. He said, you just believe the Lord's with you. How could you get depressed and stressed and uptight and anxiety and all these things if you just know the Lord is with you?
Yes.
And of course, that was Old Covenant. In the New Covenant, he said, I'm not going to just be with you. I'm going to be in you.
Yes.
So he's with us and in us.
Amen.
So if you just get that revelation, you're not going to have a down day. I mean, you're going to have a blessed day. You're going to get up like our brother and say, this is a day the Lord hath made. I choose to rejoice and be glad. Praise God. And notice, I want you to see something here. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? It kind of sounds like, don't try that. Don't try and do this. Well, you know, don't do it just when everything's going right. He says, be strong. Have I not commanded you, be strong, do not be afraid? That means you're facing things that can make you stressed or make you worried or make you afraid. Because he's saying, don't be afraid, be strong, be courageous, because the Lord God is with you. In other words, you're in circumstances, you're in problems, you're in the tests and trials of life, you're in hardships, and God says, be strong in that time. It's easy to be strong when you don't have to be strong. Right? Everything's going wonderful, hunky-dory, peachy-keen. Only those of us down south know those terms, but I'm down south, so I can say that.
Yeah, that's right.
But God says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. And then there's a three-letter word that's probably the key to this verse. You might want to circle it, underline it, and highlight it. F-O-R. Four. He says, be strong, courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Four. Here's why. God is with you everywhere you go. Yeah, but Brother Larry, I don't feel like he is. Well, that's why we just read where God said, be persistent with your faith. Don't walk by sight, walk by faith. All right, turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Is anybody getting anything? Good stuff, isn't it? Chapter 31 of Deuteronomy and verse number 6. Then we'll go back to Ephesians. Deuteronomy 31, 6. Be strong and of good courage. That's what we just saw in Joshua. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he's the one that goes with you. He will not leave you nor let you down. Wow. He will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong. Every one of these verses we're looking at, Old and New Testament, be strong. Don't try and be strong. Be strong. Well, I tried and it didn't work. Well, then you're trying to be strong in yourself instead of being strong in where you really are and who you really are. Be strong in the Lord. That takes us back to Ephesians where we started. Go back to Ephesians now. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. I'm just going to believe, since the Lord gave me this for you and for the body of Christ, that when you come into your hardships next year and tests and trials are riding, no matter what goes on in the world or terrorist activity or other nations or other religions or our government or other people's government, no matter what goes on, we can be strong and not fear. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So he says, be strong. And of course, the only way you're going to be strong is in the Lord or in Christ. When you are in Christ, you have the power of his might on the inside of you. I remember reading Micah, the prophet Micah, in Micah chapter 3 and verse 8, where he said, I am full of the Spirit of God and the might of God. I thought, now here he was. He didn't have the greater one dwelling on the inside of him. And yet he said, I'm full of God's power and I'm full of God's spirit. I'm full of God's might. I thought, how much more can we as children of the Most High God of a better covenant established on better promises say we're full of God's power and full of God's might? The greater one, right? Greater is he that's where? In you than he that's in the world. Kind of reminds me of Judges, where you can't operate by what you feel. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 11, Gideon was down in a pit, and God spoke to him and he said, "Gideon, you mighty man of valor." And if you read it, he's actually hiding from the Midianites. He's down in a pit hiding from the Midianites. And God says, "You mighty man of courageous and strength, get up and get fighting here." That kind of reminds me of Romans 4:7. God calls those things, or 4:17, God calls those things that be not as though they already are. Yeah, yeah. He calls those things that be not as though they already are. Here's my paraphrase. He calls those things that don't appear to be real, but in truth they are. Because God said so. That's what calling things that be not as though they are. He calls those things that don't appear to be real, but in truth they are real because God said so. Hallelujah. All right, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're talking about being strong because we're in the Lord. Let's see some of the things we have in the Lord here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's read verses 3 and 4, or verse 3, 4, and 5. 2 Corinthians 10:3, "For though we walk in the flesh," in other words, in these physical bodies, "we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." If you look up that Greek word carnal, it means of human origin. So the weapons of our warfare are not of human origin. Hallelujah, they're God originated, right? "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." I was wanting to get to verse number 4. Your armor is mighty. Because why? It's God's armor. Your weapons are mighty. Why? Because they're God's weapons. Romans 13:12 says, "Put on the armor of light." Think about that. You have the armor of light, and light is much more powerful than darkness. Ephesians 6:16 says, "You have the armor of faith." Think about that. Your armor of faith will stop every fiery dart shot by the wicked one. 2 Corinthians 6:7 says, "You have the armor of righteousness." Whew, righteousness is much more powerful than any sin or wrong. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6:17 says, "You have the sword of the Spirit," and the word of God, according to Hebrews 4:12, is quick, it's alive, it's powerful. That's part of your armor. And I was thinking about that. Interesting, with all of this might and all this power available to Christians, yet so many believers are living defeated, woe is me type lifestyles. Why is that? Well, because even though you have God in you, and even though you have His power in you, you have His might in you, you have His strength in you, and you have all of His powerful weapons and armor, you still have to be a doer of the Word. Thank you for those mighty rushing amens there. You have to be a doer of the Word. What word, Brother Larry? Well, start with this one, be strong. That'd be a good word to start acting. Start acting like what God said is true, and that it's true no matter how you feel, no matter how you've been treated by others, no matter what is going on in society, no matter what it looks like. Be strong. I mean, the prophet Joel had something to say about that in Joel 3:10. He said, "Let the weak say something." What? Why was he trying to get the weak to say something? Because that's how you activate faith in God. That's how you get the faith out of your heart into circulation so you partake of grace. And then you're not on your own just being strong in yourself. Joel 3:10, let the weak say, "I am strong." Wow, we could say that because Acts 17:28, in Him we live, in Him we move. In Him, we have our very existence. Why? Because we're in Him. So we can live and move and have our being in Him and be strong in Him. In fact, let's close this message this morning over in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews the 13th chapter. And let's go to verses 5 and 6. In fact, I'm going to go to the middle of verse 5. Bible never was written in chapter and verse, so verses were added. So I'm going to start in the middle of verse 5 where it says, "God has said." I want you to see what he said here and why he said it. Hebrews chapter 13, we could say verse 5b, so the middle of verse 5. Hebrews 13, 5b, and then read down to verse 6. God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. I will not fear what a virus out of a lab can do to me, because that's what man did. I'll not fear what any man can do, government. I'll not fear what any man can do, other religion that wants to annihilate me. I'll not fear what man can do to me. I will not fear. I know I shared this probably with you before when I was here, but a number of years I was driving across the panhandle of Texas. I was praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden the word of the Lord came to me, and he said this. He said, if you won't allow fear in any area of your life, no curse can operate in any area of your life. I refuse to fear. Over and over and over, God says, do not fear. So here it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we'll boldly say, the Lord's my helper. I will not fear. I will not. Everybody say, I will not. Kind of sounds like it's a choice, doesn't it? Choice of your will. You can fear, which is stress is fear. Worry about things, you're in fear, discouragement, depression, all forms of fear. You don't have to fear anything. Why? Well, do like Brother Hagin said, because he said, because God's with you and he never leaves you or forsakes you, right? Or like God said, because I'm in the Lord, so I can be strong no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like. I'm not moved by my physical senses. I'm not moved by what I see, hear, and feel. I'm moved by what I believe, and I believe God's word. You know, back in our early years of being in the Word, back in the 70s, we had this saying in Pentecostal circles where we said this, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And then later on we learned, God said it, and that settles it.
Yeah, that's right.
Whether you believe it or not, it's settled. Why? Because God's Word is forever settled in heaven. Now I know what we meant. We were trying to get ourselves worked out. Okay, God said, I believe it, so that settles it. But it's settled. When you believe it, then you settle into the perfect grace of God that'll empower you to be what you can't be on your own, do what you can't do on your own, like be strong, and have what you can't have on your own. So God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Now, here it is right here, the key to this verse. So that, I want you to circle those words if you have your Bible, or underline them or highlight them like I did. I've got it in my leather Bible and my electronic Bible. So that. God has said, and then whatever he said, so that. In other words, there was a purpose of God saying what he said. So that, here's the purpose. So that we may boldly, what's the next word?
Say.
So that we may boldly say. You've got to speak it. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. We believe, but you've got to do more than just believe. The devils believe and tremble. You've got to believe and then you've got to speak what God's word says. That's called the spirit of faith.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. God has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So he said that, but he said it so that we would boldly say, the Lord's my helper. I'm not fearing anything that man can do. I don't care what man does. I don't care what government does. I'm part of another government. Jesus' government, and his government's on his shoulders. He's the one in charge. Hallelujah. So this is saying, God has said so that we may boldly say. God has said so that we may boldly say. God has said so that we may boldly say. So anything that God has said, we're supposed to boldly say. So that's why when the Wuhan virus came out of China, I continued to travel. Well, actually, the first thing I did when they started trying to shut down everything, shut down the telling us the churches were non-essential. When God says, don't forsake the assembling, so I think we're essential, right? In God's eyes, right? First thing I did is I went to the scriptures because I thought, okay, they're telling us social distance, don't touch people, don't get close to people, you know, mask up, all these different things they're telling us. So I went to the scriptures. I wanted to see what Jesus did when there were contagious diseases in his presence. I wanted to see what he did. I'm serious. And so, you know, 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says, we are to walk even as he walked. So we're supposed to live the way he did. So I went to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and every time, I mean, he was in multitudes of people with a lot worse contagious diseases than a virus. A lot worse. And yet he did not social distance. In fact, he went right up to them and touched them. Yes. Imagine that.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
So he decided to transfer what he had rather than them transferring what they had.
Yeah.
And so that's why I continued to travel. I didn't miss a beat. We had church call us. When other churches would cancel, other church call us and, you don't happen to have this date open 3 weeks from now or something? I said, yep, I do. And I kept traveling. Now, it was kind of strange because I'd get on a jet airplane that held 220 people and there were only five of us on the jet. And they upgraded me to first class because I fly every week, you know, somewhere. And they upgraded me to first class and I was the only one in first class. The other four were in coach. So those of you, if any of you follow me on Facebook, I got my Facebook out and did a Facebook Live and started showing me and the other four, and they saw me Facebook and they all started, hey, you know. So we had a party on the plane, but I felt like I owned the plane. and it was crazy. Never saw such fear in all my life.
Yeah.
People afraid of something that the devil was doing through a man and through people. Afraid. Why do we have to be afraid? God will never leave us or forsake us. So I just kept traveling and kept laying hands on the sick, whether they had COVID or not, just kept laying hands on people. Why? Because what you and I have is more powerful than anything the kingdom of darkness has. Come on. Anything the kingdom of darkness has is nothing compared to what we have. God in us. The kingdom of God within you is much more powerful. So this is be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. I'll never leave you nor forsake you so that we may boldly say. So I challenge you, family, you guys are family to us. We're family for a lot of years here. So if this is for the body of Christ, this is for my family here in Cleveland, our family here in Cleveland, then when things come along that, you know, as we say, knocks your head where your feet was just a minute before. Just get your head, put it back on and say, bless God, I'm going to be strong.
Yes.
I'm going to be strong, yes, because I'm in the Lord. I've got his might on the inside of me. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to act like the word of God is true. Amen. Right when it looks like it's not working, when it doesn't feel like it's working, bless God. God said, be strong so I can be what he says I am. Right? I can make that choice. And when I choose to be strong, in other words, I choose to, God is my helper. I will not fear what man can do. God is with me. He'll never leave me, never let me down. When I choose to believe that, that's when I'm empowered by his grace and I don't frustrate the grace or fall from the grace. That's when I'm empowered by his grace to do everything I'm supposed to do. Go right through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. God is with me. There you go, the 23rd Psalm. Goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. So when people come up, I've actually had people come up to me, Brother Larry, pray for me. All hell broke loose. I said, okay, it's time to let all heaven break loose. People think all hell breaking loose is worse than all heaven breaking loose. Come on, get a clue. All heaven breaking loose is a lot more powerful. God's a lot more powerful than the devil. Heaven's a lot more powerful than hell. Light's a lot more powerful than darkness. Come on. God's word's a lot more powerful than the devil's word. Amen. So man, I mean, when all hell breaks loose, just lift up your voice and say, this is a day that my God has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in this. The Lord is my light and salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though I walk right through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. In fact, I'll sit down and have a meal with Jesus. That's what it says to do. Sit down in the presence of your enemies and God fixes you a 7-course meal.
Yep.
So that sounds like you're resting right while you're in the valley. Stop, take a break with Jesus, and then just keep walking. It says we walk through, not get defeated in. We walk through the valley. How do we walk? By faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our hands up right now.
Praise.
Father, thank you for this word. for us to strengthen us by your word. Your word is empowering. Your word is strengthening. Your word is life. Your word is light. Your word is health. You said if we would attend to your words and incline our ear to your sayings and not let them depart from our eyes and keep in the midst of our heart, they'd be life to us and they'd be health to all of our physical body. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. We worship you. We give you thanks. We choose to be strong. We may feel weak and we'll start saying, well, I'm not going to move by what I feel. I'm going to be moved by the word. The word says be strong, so I'm strong. Yes. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And I pray if anybody's here today that's not a Christian, not a child of God, anybody watching, are we streaming? Anybody watching online right now, if you're not a Christian right now, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. There's the word from heaven right there, word from God for everybody. Today is the day. You don't have to wait. You don't have to get good or get better before you come to God. You can come just like you are right now, and he'll take you and he'll clean up your act and make you one of his own. Today is the day of salvation. If anyone hears his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't turn away from God. Turn to Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so right now, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Christians, just be in an attitude of prayer. If there's someone present in this place and you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior and you'd like to, lift your hand up so we can pray for you today. Today is the day of salvation. Great time, too, during Christmas season to make the one who Christmas is all about your Lord and Savior. Is there anyone? I've not seen a hand yet, so if you are here and you're not saved, you want to be, lift your hand up real high so I can see it. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, lift your head up, open your eyes, and look at me. Since nobody raised your hand, if you are a Christian, you're not ashamed to admit it, hold your hand up real high and say, yep, that's me. I'm a child of the Most High God. Well, that means every one of you can be strong, right? In the Lord. Now, since y'all raised your hands, is everyone filled with the Holy Ghost? Because if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, being able to pray in a brand new heavenly prayer tongue, you need to be endued with that power from on high. So if you're here and you're not filled and you want to be, lift your hand. You want to be filled with the Spirit, but you're not filled. You'd like to be able to be like the Apostle Paul, like all the writers of the New Testament. They all prayed in the Spirit. Every single writer of the New Testament that you follow after was a tongue talker. Amen. Paul, the apostle who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, he said he prayed in tongues more than everybody else. So he loved praying in the Spirit. He called it praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. And so if you're not filled and you want to be, lift your hand. Is there anybody at all? No hands at all? Well, I'll tell you what, I'll make this. Sometimes people are afraid to lift their hand. If you want to be filled and you didn't lift your hand, come see me or see pastor, see one of the praise and worship team, see the sound man, anybody here get you filled. But let us know before you leave and we'll make sure you get filled with the Spirit. And I know you'll be blessed if you do. Praise God. All right, listen, let me announce a couple things at our product table. One thing that I found out in order for me to be strong is I got to stay full of God's Word. So years ago, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to write down a verse of Scripture on a piece of paper and take it to work with you and quote it all day long. And so I did that all day long. Probably by the time I went to bed that night, I had quoted it maybe 60 or 70 times, maybe 80. I'd quoted a lot. And he said, speak it out of your mouth so your ears can hear it out loud. And so I did that all day long. The second day he said, now that verse you took yesterday, take it with you again today and do that same thing again today. So I did it 70 or 80 times. The third day he said, take that same verse with you again. This actually happened 7 days in a row. Now, interesting, by the third day of quoting it 70 or 80 times, I had it memorized. And I thought that was good. But do you remember the Sadducees and Pharisees? Jesus actually rebuked them, said, you can quote the scriptures, meaning they had it memorized. He said, but you do not know them. Big difference. And I found out something. By the seventh day, he had me do the same verse 7 days in a row. Now, you can do more Bible reading and things like that, but he had me meditating on one verse for 7 days in a row. And by the seventh day, that verse had gotten like a part of the fabric of my being. You know what I mean by that? It felt like that verse was coming out my pores. And the way I knew it, about 3 weeks later or so, I came into a test and trial of life, a hardship of life that we all go through. And without even thinking about it, up out of the inside of me, I found myself saying, it is written, and I was quoting that verse from 3 weeks earlier that had become a part of me without thinking it. In other words, the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance what He had said to me, and it came up out of my spirit, and I knew that truth, and that truth made me free. In other words, I walked right through that test and trial with no problem at all because I had God's word on it. And so then He had me do a new verse week two, another new verse week three, each week just one verse. He said, how many verses are you going to know at the end of 1 year? Well, 52 verses of scripture are a lot of scripture to do battle with. What if you do it just for 2 years, 104 verses? I'm telling you, it's powerful. So that's why last time we sold out of these deck of cards when I brought them, so I brought some more back. For those of you that don't know, we put together a deck of 52 cards, just like a normal deck of cards. Each card has a scripture on the front and then a declaration on the back, because you got to believe it and speak it, right? And so the deck of cards back there, I tried to bring enough because at this time of year, people like buying extras for Christmas gifts, stocking stuffers, things like that. But they make great wedding gifts, birthday gifts, and all that as well, so you can get a hold of those. And then if you want to get a hold of the Heaven's Health Food CD that couple with cancer had gotten a hold of, it's called Heaven's Health Food. I know some hands didn't go up, so you may not have it, but Heaven's Health Food, it's our number one selling recording. We have 7 different ones. We have that one. Our newest one is Love Scriptures. Do we have that queued up, guys? You do? Yeah, give them a quick sample of that. Thank you. This is Heaven's Health Food.
Says, allow you to suffer the diseases I allowed on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. The New English Bible says, I, the Lord, am your healer. The Sporel translation says, I am Jehovah, your physician. The Basic English translation says, I am the Lord, your life giver. Young's translation says, for I, Jehovah, am healing you. The Knox translation says, I am the Lord, and it is health I bring you. When the Goodspeed translation talks about the diseases, it says, for I, the Lord...
Whoops. Anyway, that last translation that got drained out, it said, I, the Lord, make you immune to them. So all the different translations, notice they say it different ways, but it just gives you more light and understanding. So all of our 7 different recordings, different subjects, do the same thing. They take the scripture, quote many translations, and then music behind my voice. But then we also put the Heaven's Health Food that you just listened to and the Love Scriptures together on a USB. So if you want to get a USB, actually save $10 that way, and you get the Love Scriptures and the Health Scriptures together, and that's real good, because faith works by love, doesn't it? So you need to be full of Love Scriptures as well. That's available. And then get a hold of my series, Don't Stay Sick. Don't wait till you get sick to start building your faith. Go ahead and start listening to teaching out of the Word of God so that you're ready to face anything that attacks your body. The Bible doesn't say we're not going to get attacked. No, we're going to get attacked, it said. In the world, you'll face tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So Don't Stay Sick is great. And then just so you know, I have the new little mini book, Limitless, Life with Jesus. And we've been giving those out to the people that get saved on Google. And actually, I love the testimony. A guy came up to me recently and said, hey, I just wanted to thank you for the little mini book, Limitless. He said, you know, I'm a Bible school graduate like you. And he said, I've been in the Word for 30 years. He said, but I read your little mini book and I realized I had let some things slip and that I needed to be put in remembrance. And he said, your little mini book relit my fire. So it's just a little mini book called Limitless Life with Jesus. But those are all back there. After Pastor dismisses, then Liz and I will be heading back to the product table to help you out in case you have any questions back there. But thank you. Thank you, Pastor Mark and Margaret. Love you guys. You're special to us. And family, we've always loved your kids, and they're special to us. Thank you, praise and worship team. You guys are awesome. Love you guys. Praise God. Give the pastor a hand as he comes today.
Give Larry a big, big hand. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. That's so powerful. You know, and you need to do what he said. It's really one of the best things you can ever do, is to meditate in the Word of God, because you can. Now, I like to read. I like to read the entire. I've probably read the New Testament 100 times, probably a lot more than that. So I like to read. I on purpose, forces me to look at things I never look at. But you know, you can read like a proverb a day. That's a good idea. You know, just one whole chapter, 31 days basically, you know, 30 days. But you can read, for instance, Proverbs 51, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up the anger of the tongue of the... You can read that and then not remember it 10 minutes from there. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. But if you read that and meditate in it and do what Brother Larry's talking about, and it gets on the inside of you, and it's in the forefront of you thinking, and it's just automatic, then you act on it in the midst of life, and then it makes a difference in your life, not just because you read it and forgot it. So that is so, so powerful, and that's just one of a thousand things I could say about all the wonderful things he said this morning, but that's good stuff. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we are blessed this morning. Glory to God. And we want to be a blessing to Larry and Liz. Praise God. Take up an offering for them. So if you need an envelope for your giving, these ushers will see that you get one. Or I think there's envelopes right in front of you in the pews. And then you know how to give. I don't know how to say it like Pastor John can say it, but you know the drill. It's they'll put it up there for you, how to text that in and give to it and so forth. There it is. You can give by texting CCF Church the amount to... 73256, praise God. Or you can go online and then follow the drop-down menu and give that way. Praise God, hallelujah. How many of you know if you give, it'll be given back unto you? How many of you believe that? Amen. And so we just did a series, you know, on grace giving. And in 2 Corinthians, it says if we give willingly, if we give joyfully, and if we give generously. Now, what's generous for you? Amen. $5 for one person might be very generous. $50 for somebody else might be very stingy. But so give generously, give willingly, glory to God, and give, which one did I leave out? Willingly, generously, and joyfully. Praise God. And you will receive a bountiful, generous harvest in return. I believe that with all my heart, and I've lived that way for many, many years, and I am blessed because of it. Praise God. Amen. Everybody got an envelope that needed one? Praise God. Let's give this morning. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, glory to God. Thank you, Father, for the truth of your word. Oh, there's one major truth, Father, that just is in all of this, is we cannot, no matter how sincere we are, no matter how hard we try in the flesh, we cannot do this on our own. We cannot overcome sin. We cannot be. We are strong in you. And as we believe your word, then we experience that grace power. Praise God. Hallelujah. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for these wonderful truths to hear them. Glory to God. Amen, Holy Spirit. I thank you that every heart is an open heart, a hungry heart, a receptive heart. They don't take the word in one ear and let it go out the other. No, they hear it, they understand it, and we, your people, we are doers of your word, praise God. And so we bring these, our gifts to you. We do give this morning generously. We don't give stingily. We don't give out of obligation or duty. We give because we want to. We give because of love, and we give what's generous for us, glory to God. And we thank you, Father God, that as we give, that is given back unto us. And we just praise you and thank you for that. We sow it gladly and willingly into Larry Hutton Ministries so that he can continue to preach the gospel all over the world. And we thank you for the opportunity to do so in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go ahead, gentlemen, wait on the people. Yeah. Amen. That's my grandson, Matthew. Taught him everything I know about playing the guitar, which was zero. He learned that all on his own. I can play the radio 3 out of 4 times successfully. Praise God. Let's stand together. Praise God. We are glad that you were here this morning. Amen. Were you glad you're here? Amen. Amen. Don't forget Wednesday night service. Larry and Liz will be right out here. Their product table is right out here. God bless you. We love you. Merry Christmas. You are dismissed.